You're listening to Radio Aryan at RadioAryan.com.
Hello, and welcome to Truth Pull Out Radio. Today's date is Friday, the 18th of August, 2017, and you're listening to me, Sven Longshanks. Of course, I am joined today by the producer of Adolf Hitler, the greatest story never told, Mr. Dennis Wise. Dennis, how are you doing today?
I'm not doing too bad, actually. You've just reminded me that there's been quite a number of uploaded versions of the 6 hours of The Greatest Story Never Told. I think it's still gaining momentum around the world.
Well, I think it's a timeless film, isn't it, really? I mean, you think it's talking about events from 70 years ago that are still extremely relevant today. And you look at the fear people have when they hear the word National Socialist and the way that they call people Nazis. If you call people Nazis, apparently that's an excuse to kill them, basically, to try to kill them. I mean, that's what was going on at this rally last week. Throwing rocks, flamethrowers, baseball bats. I mean, I've seen videos of these Negroes just walking along whirling baseball bats around their heads as, you know, as the white patriots are just walking down the street. And the journalists are saying, well, this is perfectly fine to do this because they're Nazis. And even Theresa May has backed that up. She said the same.
I see these BBC reporters coming on TV. And let's get it right. You know, there's good and bad on all sides. But they go on about this, you know, this racism and the blacks and suffering. I just wish they'd go to Detroit one night and just have a walk around after 10 o'clock. You know, go into a few alleyways and let's just see just how much they love this agenda when they've finished. Because trust me, you know, there's bad on both sides and you know, but it's all been one-sided this week.
Oh, completely. I mean, Donald Trump has been very extremely courageous to say that, you know, there was a fight and there are always two sides involved. But the entire media has gone absolutely crazy at him for basically saying, well, yes, you know, these people are people. They're saying there's no moral equivalence. How can you compare Antifa to the alt-right? Well, there is an equivalence. They're all human beings, aren't they? This is what they're implying. they're implying that the alt-right aren't human beings. They don't have the right to walk down the street without being violently attacked. It's perfectly okay to violently attack people if you've called them Nazis. And that's basically what they're saying.
I see these young left-wingers over in America. You know, it's obvious that the indoctrination has been pretty steady for the last few decades. Because these kids come out and they have absolutely no idea what they're kicking off for.
And they're incredibly violent as well. You've got Blake de Lascar. I mean, he may have permanent damage to his eyesight. Looks like they sprayed something in his face. It could have been acid. I've seen people with fractured skulls, fractured occipital eye sockets, like real serious damage.
When was the last time one of these Antifa's got arrested?
Well, this is just it.
I mean, they always hear about the right getting jailed.
Well, they don't get jailed. This is just it. They commit their violence, and the journalists back it up and say that if anybody criticizes them for that violence, then they're supporting the Ku Klux Klan and Nazis and white supremacy. These are all these attacks that have been leveled at Donald Trump. And basically, you know, he's saying, well, look, there's two sides to a fight. There may well have been some bad sorts among the alt-right, but there are also bad sorts among the alt-left. That's a very sensible, well-thought-out thing to say, and yet he's being completely attacked for it. The journalists are just basically showing their true colours, really. It's all lies that come out of their mouth when they talk about equality and human rights and freedom of speech. It's all lies, all of it, because they don't think any of it applies to white nationalists. Theresa May's done the same thing. She's said exactly the same. There's no equivalent between the counter-protesters or the Antifa. There's no equivalent between the Antifa and the alt-right. And what she means by that is that it's perfectly fine for the Antifa to violently attack the alt-right because the alt-right aren't human. They don't have the same rights because they have a different opinion. Because we have a different opinion to the regime, we don't have any rights at all, and we're fair game for any crimes to be carried out against us. Where do they think that's going to end? How do they think that is going to end in a country like America where everyone is armed? Seriously.
Serious business. But see, the thing is that, you know, when someone on the right gets arrested, the focal point, the names are, you know, they're sent down, and they're made for people to, you know, to recognise and et cetera. But the left, I can't think of anyone who can springs to mind who's been arrested and made a focal point of, basically because I think, obviously, what we're saying is the government-backed.
Oh, completely government-backed and police-backed. I mean, that what went on at Charlottesville, it's the same thing that they do at every protest. They do the same in Britain. They will have the counter-protesters right next to the protesters. The protesters will have to walk through the counter-protesters to get to their rallying point. They'll be violently attacked by the Antifa, and then the police will say, because there's a risk to public safety, so we have to shut the rally down. And that's exactly the same rules of the playbook that they used in Charlottesville, only it was much larger and much more violent than really what we've seen in Britain, I think. And the interesting thing has been what's followed with this massive censorship, trying to silence any websites that are telling the other side of the story, basically.
Yeah.
And well, that's the it's game, unprecedented. Yeah. Unprecedented.
Well, wiping history really annoys me. I mean, only last week we did the episode on the Cristeros, which still people are coming on saying they've never heard about it. When they're going down into the southern states now and taking down statues and renaming parks, you know, why? Why? I mean, that, you know, at the end of the day, the war, civil war, is in the history books, but they're just trying to wipe it clean.
Well, you bring it up there, Dennis. I mean, it's something we talk about so much here on Truthful Out Radio, about the lies that are told about history and the wiping out of our history. And we're seeing it happen before our very eyes. When they remove Daily Stormer from the internet, they remove all the commentary on the news of the last 3 or 4 years, all the alternative commentary, the counter viewpoint of what was happening in the news. And if Andre doesn't succeed in getting that back online somehow, then future generations are not going to be able to know what was really going on. All they're going to see is the,
sure,
you know, is the sanitized, censored version.
Sorry,
that's all they're going to be. Yeah. All the next generation is going to be able to see is this censored version that the establishment have put out. It's just like George Orwell's 1984, where Winston is wiping out history and changing it so that the next generations won't know that people have existed. And that's exactly what they're doing now. They're trying to wipe.
I think
all
that's what they've done throughout history. Anyway, I think there's obviously, if I'm stumbling on, you know, this Cristero thing, like, what else have they hidden? But what I'm trying to say is that at the end of the day, Red Ice had their website. Two websites hacked. I mean, they lost their iTunes downloads. When I were interviewed, iTunes immediately just censored it all. But they've had the two websites hacked now. So there is some kind of something going on where they're trying to stop people from, obviously, you know, learning the truth.
Well, they've taken down the TRS site as well. And with the Daily Stormer, I mean, they did a really sneaky one. They DDoSed the site, which they're prepared for anyway. But then they took away the domain name. So it was dailystormer.com. So they moved to dailystormer.wang in China. That was up for a couple of hours before that was taken down. Next, it was dailystormer.ru, where they moved to Russia. That was up for a few hours before that got taken down. So basically, they're showing that they have this global reach where they can control other countries and force them to shut down the speech because they don't want the truth getting out about this event. So they're basically shutting down all the sites that are providing an alternative view of what happened in Charlottesville. And this is why it's been so brave of Trump to actually stand up and speak the truth about it. And things do seem to be changing. Katie Hopkins has spoken up about it. Tucker Carlson has spoken up about it. David Vance has spoken up about it. And they're all saying, well, we don't agree with what the alt-right is saying, but they must have the right to say it. They must have the right to be heard. Otherwise, what direction are we heading in? And this is showing that it's really us on the right. We are the ones with the most liberal viewpoint because we want other people to have their voices heard. We wouldn't dream of saying, trying to silence people. We want to hear what other people say so that we can debate with them and come to the best conclusion. You get as close to the truth as we can.
Well, what's the point of having free speech if you can't hear somebody's other point of view?
Well, exactly. The whole of civilization is about cooperating together and collaborating together and having a debate, having different views and coming, reaching conclusions that are of benefit to everyone at the end of the debate. And what the left are saying is,
when you're trying to hide an agenda and people are coming out and showing light on that actual fact, these people are trying to hide an agenda. They're trying to push through the immigration of Europe and numerous other things. And when people are coming out and pointing it out to the, you know, mainstream ordinary viewer, you know, or listener, then that's when they start to cover up. It's obviously some of what's going down, which they want it as secretive as possible, because if they know if it gets out, then, you know, the plans are going to be ruined. So to me, the bad guys won the World War II anyway, and the bad guys are still in charge. Which is why, you know, people speaking the truth are getting some serious pain.
Well, it's the alternative voice that they're trying to pretend that there is no alternative voice. They're trying to pretend that it doesn't exist. These websites aren't there anymore. It's not that they're not mentioning them or not you can't find them with a search engine, but they're literally trying to wipe the internet of them so that you can't find them. I hope that the Wayback Machine will be able to find the Daily Stormer. But as you say, Red Ice has been taken down. Patreon, the payment account for dissidents, that's been taken down. They're going after all these sites. Gab is still up. Gab is suddenly becoming extremely popular, and you can still find Andrew Anglin and Weave on there if you want to find out what's going on. And I believe you could find Daily Stormer on the dark web, but it even disappeared off of that yesterday.
Well, if it's disappearing off, that's a problem, isn't it?
And this is worldwide clampdown on dissidents and white people, basically. White people standing up for whites. I mean, this isn't all National Socialists. This isn't all white supremacists. You know, this is white people standing up for our rights.
And
go on.
I read something the other day, you know, and immediately hit me, you know. I mean, I don't think the Jews have ever got over the Romans destroying Jerusalem, because what I didn't know, right, was that they killed 1.3 million Jews. So when I think about it now, you know, with the World War II, the Roman Catholic Church and the Hitler and the Roman salute was banned, etc. These people, you know, I seriously believe that they've got it in for us because of these massacres that the Romans did back then. And no doubt, you know, they had good cause as well. But I mean, it goes back that far. It really does.
Well, we know what they're like with holding a grudge. If you go back to Jerusalem, again, it was the same behaviour that we see today that the Romans were putting down. I mean, it was like a Bolshevik revolution in Jerusalem. These Jews were running wild. You had Israelites there that weren't actually part of the Jewish clique, and they were being robbed and raped and tortured. And the Jews themselves, you know, they set fire to the temple, and the Romans were in tears at what was happening, because that temple and Jerusalem city had stood for thousands of years, It was a, if you look at the remains of it, the remains of things that Herod built, I mean, it's huge slabs of rock that they actually used. I mean, it's a real marvel of engineering. And these Jews set fire to it, and they couldn't care less that it was being burned down. But the Romans themselves, who appreciated civilization, they were really sorry about what they actually had to do, but they had to do it. They had to put down this Bolshevik revolution. And they've done the same thing ever since.
We all.
Ever since. They've been rebelling against order, the order of the universe. You know, that's what the rejection of Christ, or Christ rejecting them. Yeah. Either way around, it's the same thing. It's a rejection of Logos and embracing of chaos and death, which is what the Jews have promoted ever since. All the perversity, the corruption, usury, everything that comes from them is the opposite of what's natural and what's right. And it's now coming to ahead again, and we're realizing, our people are waking up and realizing that we've been pushed down the wrong route, liberalizing everything, liberalizing sex, everyone, gay sex, child sex, interracial sex, everything goes, nothing is taboo anymore. And this is what it leads to. It leads to the genocide of our people.
Again, it's funny you should say that, because I was pointed in the direction of YouTube this week. And there's actually pro-paedophile channels up on YouTube, what YouTube are refusing to take down. I mean, you can imagine the comments. I mean, you know, people are coming on there and telling these people to go kill themselves. So you can imagine how many times the alarm bell on the video has been rung for YouTube to knock them off, and they refuse to knock the videos off. You know, this is the next agenda, I think. Paedophilia, we're going right back all the way to Babylon.
Well, it wouldn't surprise me if YouTube end up banning the commenters that are telling the paedophiles to go kill themselves and leaving the videos up there. That doesn't surprise me one bit. YouTube are removing videos that show Antifa violence at the moment. Things that show the Antifa attacking other people, YouTube are removing. Because they don't, they're all part of this same group. I mean, it's no surprise to find YouTube's run by Jews, is it? YouTube,
Google. Yeah, and ADL sitting there with them to
PayPal
decide what videos to stay out. But you know, I mean, I knew it was going to come, but I didn't realise it were already kicking in. Some really weird, sick people in these channels.
Well, they remove your stuff, don't they, Danny? So, you know, you've had your videos removed so many times, and all your videos are doing is showing an alternative view of history. Yeah, it's just an alternative view of history is all that you're trying to put across there. Nobody's forcing people to watch these videos. Nobody's forcing people to listen to us, and yet they can't stand to have an alternative point of view, because they know that their point of view is so weak and feeble that it just gets destroyed by us. So they have to use physical force to try and shut down the alternative view. They never win.
Debate had on the internet that just kind of fizzled out. You know, I mean, from what started on as what was going to be supposed to be a challenging debate, then turned into, rather than debate, they were asking me questions, and then by the time we got to the end of the the sequence about World War II, what I was talking about, it just kind of fizzed away and died. I mean, they literally had nothing left to say, and I give them all the sources required, and even new ones that I found myself. And at the end of the day, like, these people who at the very beginning were, oh, this should be good, and, this will be a walkover while you're talking to somebody who's just a YouTube commenter, all this kind of carry on. And then, but they got seriously educated, and it just died. Went into a kind of haven't heard a thing since.
Well, what they don't realise is that we've got solid evidence behind what we say. They think we're idiots. We're just trying to shock people, or we're bad people. We're nasty people that we like the evil view of Hitler and National Socialism that's been put up by Hollywood. We want to gas all the Jews. We support all of this. That's the view that has been put across about us by the media. And this is why people get so angry and violent against us, like this anti-fascist.
Language comes out before the debates even got going.
Yeah, well, they've been fed all these lies. So when they discover that actually we do know what we're talking about, we've done a lot of research into this, and there's a lot of facts out there that the other side are completely unaware of, they have a shock and they can't cope with it. They really can't cope with it. And it is quite a shock when you think about it. When you think, you know, actually the person who you thought was the most evil man in history is actually one of the best people, best men that has ever lived. And when you look at what the National Socialists did, it is a shock to the system.
It is a shock to the system, you're right.
You have to question everything then. Everything that you've ever been told. And a lot of people have got a lot invested in the liberal idea, in the multicultural diversity idea. They've dedicated their lives to it. They've got children that have married non-whites, or they've got brown grandchildren, or gay children, gay friends, whatever. They've got so much invested in it that it's very, very hard for them to realize that they've actually been wrong and admit that they've been wrong.
It's such a web of deceit. It's so deep, though. I mean, even I'm fascinated at times on the way they've wove that web. Because when I get somebody, I'll give you an example, yeah? Somebody came on YouTube the other day from England and absolutely abused me and felt ashamed knowing that I was English. I said to him, yeah, and listen to this one. The English wiped out some of my family, and I'm still trying to help you. I'm still trying to tell you that your grandfathers and and whoever fought in that war, they fought not really knowing why they were fighting, because they were deceived. And this guy just couldn't get it through his head that the white race was being wiped out. He didn't win World War II at all. The communists won. No, Britain didn't win it. You know, France didn't win it. It was the ruling Freemasons and the communists. And he'll get it one of these days, it will get on, but it'll be too late, you know what I mean?
Well, it's almost like with the repenting of your sins to become a Christian, people get right at the bottom of the pit and they end up repenting and becoming Christian. It's almost similar. You know, you have to repent of everything that you thought was true before. Everything that you had your life invested in and thought was true is actually false. And you have to come to this choice. Do you continue to live a lie and pretend that you haven't heard the truth? Or do you accept that actually you were wrong and start making changes in your life and start promoting the truth? And this is why Christ said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. He is the truth personified. So something like this, National Socialist truth, which goes against everything that the world tells you, you know, that comes from God. Definitely. That comes from Christ.
Yeah.
It comes from Christ. And following it will improve your life. It will improve everyone's lives once you start following
it. A lot of people think with Freemasonry, like, you know, they say this great architect of the universe. Doesn't really matter which God you believe in, be it Buddha, be it how many gods is there, kind of thing, like, doesn't really matter, Buddha, whatever, there's only one, and coincidentally, it's the same one that the Jews also, you know what I mean, this is what ties Freemasonry anyway to the Jews, and that's Christ. You know, the Freemasonry is not interested in Christ whatsoever.
Well, since the Renaissance, they've been trying to say that all religions are equal, and they're all talking about the same God. And this is why you had in Vatican II, they said that there are different ways to reach God. And this is why you see the Pope in the synagogues now and in the mosques. And that's the reason why, is because they're trying to say that Christianity is just the same as these other religions. It's just another religion. You know, this phrase that they come up with, Abrahamic religion, that really, really does get to me, that one, when I hear
what that. What is your old name, isn't it? I mean, I've been bravely trying to temper at 7. I mean bravely. I mean, it's such a subject, it's so difficult to convince people about, but I've been working on angles and ways that I can do to try and convince people. But we look at a lot of people call Freemasonry satanic, and with good reason. Even Hitler felt that it was satanic. And so I kind of looked at some some YouTube videos and one or two other writings and whatever. And I actually, believe it or not, I mean, I heard John Todd talking, and if you, I mean, I've spoken about this guy before, he was talking about the Illuminati in June 70s, and he has to talk about the music business and how they cast spells on these master tapes, and, you know, because they can't really attack a Christian as such, but they can, if a Christian goes out and buys a record, if there's a demon attached to this record, then, you know, it's one way of getting into this Christian's home. Now, all this, to a lot of people, you know, it sounds ludicrous. But at the end of the day, I then come across secret doctrines, Freemasonry, which actually, it's a how to raise spirits and demons, and it gives you diagrams, how to raise Lucifer. Unbelievable. But I've got to put it in such a way that, you know, people's going to see, you know, the credibility in it. But, oh, well, what a web these people weave.
Well, that comes from this equivalent, saying that these other religions are the same, and that these pagan magicians, they had an earlier dispensation from God. And in the Renaissance, around about that time, they were trying to call up angels and call on the names of angels and make angels do their bidding. And they thought they were Christians, Christian Kabbalah, and things like that, that they came out with. And it's all intertwined with Freemasonry.
Crowley's another one.
Yeah, he came sort of later on. But this belief that there's only one God and all these religions lead to the same God, they don't. There's only one way. There's only one truth. There can only be one truth. So they can't all be right. And part of this was coming up with this term Abrahamic religions, trying to say that Islam and Judaism are somehow on the same level as Christianity, as if they all come from the same source. They all came from Abraham. Islam and Judaism didn't come from Abraham, had nothing to do with it. Islam comes from Muhammad. And Judaism wasn't even thought up until two or three centuries after Christ, when the Talmud got written down. I mean, the old religion of the Old Testament revolved around the temple, which is no longer here, the priests, which are no longer here, and the sacrifices that were done in the temple, which are no longer here. Christ was the final sacrifice, and the temple and the priests were all done away with. And the Jews, the mongolized residents of Judea that didn't become Christian, that were rejected by the Christians, went to war against the Christians, and they got the Roman senators to persecute the Christians, and they formed their own religion, which was rabbinic Judaism, based around the Talmud, based around the synagogue. And all of that is new, and it relies on twisting the Old Testament and perverting the Old Testament, but they're nothing to do with it. And Islam and Muhammad, again, it's based on twisting and perverting the Old Testament, but it's got nothing whatsoever to do with Abraham. Nothing at all to do with
Abraham. Yeah, well, the public's fooled, because I even heard Malcolm X talking at one point, saying that, you know, the Christian God is the same as, you know, the Allah and all this kind of thing, but it's not, like you say. But I'll give you another piece of information I came across this week, just by chance. The Normans. I believe, I mean, we all know the Normans brought the Jews into Britain, and they went around the country building these great cathedrals. I believe the Normans were part of a section of the building part of Freemasonry, would you believe?
Well, I think Freemasonry didn't come about until the 13th or the 14th century, so it must have been after the Normans came in. I mean, 1066, that's when...
What I'm talking about is when these Jews moved into Europe, at one point they met up with the Norsemen or Normans, you know, which wherever they came from, and they both realized that they both needed each other, because they both came from this Babylonian civilization, should we say. And when the Normans bring in the Jews, it's no surprise now.
Oh, yeah, they brought the Jews over to Britain. And the other thing that they did was replaced all the clergy, apart from two. Yeah. Every single one of the priests in the whole of England, Wales, Britain was replaced by these new incoming Norman aristocracy. And they banned the speaking of Anglo-Saxon. They got rid of that. They banned Welsh as well. Welsh was banned right up until the 19th century.
So that's the banning nationalism.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah, same thing, isn't it?
It was an occupation, basically. The Normans came over and occupied the country. I mean, they were the same people. They were the same ethnicity. But if you think about that, if they're occupying a foreign country, they're not really going to care. They're going to want to make as much money as they can out of the serfs. So they're going to bring the Jews over to do that.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, I would say all ties in with me because, like I said, when I was listening to this this kind of talking, it all made sense to me.
I mean, we have had some good Norman kings. I mean, don't get me wrong, this didn't go on for too long. But from 1066 till probably 1150, it was like this. 1290, we've got good King Longshanks who expelled the Jews. So obviously, the white spirit had come through, the white racial soul
had managed to come through. The Jews had gone too far again.
Yeah, well, they did. They were engaging in ritual sacrifice of young Christian children. That was the reason why they were kicked out. And then when they came back, after Oliver Cromwell, I think that was the time that Freemasonry really began. But before then, we had the Templars, and the Templars were like proto-Freemasons. Yeah. Jacques de Molay was burnt at the stake, but I believe a fleet of ships with Templars on them managed to make their way to Scotland. And they built that Roslin Chapel in Scotland, which has got all this Freemasonic imagery in it. And then after they got to Scotland, within a century, the Freemasons began. So you've got a link there from the Templars to the Freemasons. The Templars were out there in Jerusalem, and they were studying this Kabbalah and the Jewish magic.
So and the usury.
Yeah, and the Templars were the first bankers. They were they would take bits of paper, or they would take people's money before they went on the Crusades, and they'd give them a piece of paper like a check. And then when they got out there to where they were fighting, they could then hand the check over and withdraw some money from where they were. So they were the first banking system. And of course, if they're getting involved with the Jews over there, then usury is going to start coming into it. I mean, some of us think the Templars
is the satanic way of controlling the earth. I think if you take away this financial system, this is what grips everybody. Puts all countries in debt and then they're subservient to the Jews. If you can break that system, that will go one hell of a way of freeing us all. But to do that, obviously when a country does try it, like Germany or Libya, you see the results. But it's that finance. It is actually satanic. I don't know who thought of it, whether the country's a demon up to think of that one, but, the more, compound interest, you never pay it off. It just goes on and on and on. And it's like, the Jews eventually in some countries just had to waiver, the debt because it just couldn't be paid.
Well, the usury itself is a weapon of war. If you look in the Old Testament, the Israelites are forbidden to use usury at all. They can engage in it against their enemies, but that's all. And of course, when the Jews came into Europe and pretended to be the Hebrews of the Old Testament, the priests said, these Jews are allowed to use usury. They don't use it among themselves, but if we'll allow them to have their old laws. So they used that scam to allow the Jews to be able to put interest on loans, and then the king would take a share of it. So the king's Jews were making money from all these loans. So eventually you ended up with the poor white people were so in hock to these Jews that the Pope said, well, instead of banning the Jews from doing this, we'll have to set up our own banks doing it, and we'll set a limit to the amount of interest that can be charged. And once that happened, then the Jews were free to take over the Christian banks, and usury was then legal. Interest was then legal, and then they came up with their idea of fractional reserve banking, and they didn't even have to have any gold in the first place then. They could just, magic it up out of thin air. The BBC even admitted that on the news the other day. They had some banker on there and someone was asking him questions, and they said, well, do you just create this money, as it were, out of thin air? And he said, well, yes, we do, but we're only allowed to multiply it by a certain amount, and we didn't actually have a limit on the amount we could multiply it before. They were talking about this, the bank crash, you know? So they admitted.
Yeah, sure.
They are now admitting it. It's a revelation of the method. Things we've been saying for years, they're now they're so powerful, they can admit it without worrying that there's going to be a revolution and an uproar, which there should be. But it goes right the way back to Old Testament times.
Definitely. I mean, these people have been around waging this war for thousands of years. And like the revolution show, I mean, even when the French Revolution, when they were doing the guillotine, people were shouting, Demolay has been avenged. It goes all the way back. And to be honest, I'm sick and tired of it, to be honest. I just wish, I mean, I feel grateful that they've won two world wars and they still haven't got control of the world. I just think if there's going to be a third world war, let's get it on. And, you know, if they win that one, good luck to them. We're staying around anyway.
Well, they do seem to have a global reach, don't they? I mean, if the Dover Stormer gets knocked down from a Chinese domain name and knocked back from a Russian domain name, I mean, that is showing that they've got a global reach, really, isn't it?
Because Without a doubt. I mean, you haven't totally got control. Places, you know, there are some countries that still resist. Syria, for one, I watched an interview the other day of how they were still trying to, this American reporter was still having a go at Assad for this, that, and the other. And he's trying to tell this guy, where's your evidence? You know, he pulls these photos out and he says, fair enough. But who are these photos of? Where are they from? And, you know, there's not many countries left, though. That's the problem.
Oh, you got Iran, you got North Korea. I keep thinking he's going to.
Can I just say about North Korea for a second? For these people who aren't really clued up on what's going on out there, the reason, I mean, they're always criticising him for not talking, but he's, from his point of view, right, he looks out at the world, he sees Gaddafi give his weapons up, he sees what they do to Iran. He doesn't actually go around the world invading countries. But he knows the value of keeping, you know, destructive weapons. But the point is, you know, if you leave him alone, he's not going to do anything. The problem is with America is when they want, they say like, you know, he should sit down and talk. America laid down certain conditions before there's any talking. And one of them is give up your weapons. So he's never going to sit down and talk. But the outside world don't realize this. And they just think he's the warmonger because he set another missile off. It's crazy. Absolutely.
It's funny how they don't accuse him of supremacy, because North Korea, I mean, it's an ethno-nationalist state, and they are racial supremacists.
They're probably the healthiest nation on the planet.
Well, they see their Korean genome as being far above all the other Asian races. They trace their genealogy back, and they try to keep themselves as pure as possible. They won't allow intermarriage with whites.
Or McDonald's.
Certainly not other races. You know, they are racial supremacists, and yet that never gets mentioned when the mainstream media is trying to attack them. That only ever gets used against white people.
Yeah. I mean, you look at South Korea, which is the epitome of the Weimar Republic, with, you know, prostitution rife, etc. Compared to North Korea, you know, the South Korea is infested. Nothing ever said.
It's a great shame that it is communist, and even greater shame that they're not white. But you imagine what a white country could do with a pure ethno state. And you look what the North Koreans managed to do.
We saw it with Germany. Unbelievable.
Well, Kim Jong-un, I mean, he's managed to protect his people from all the degeneracy that we see around us. They don't have a divorce there. They don't have abortion. They don't have a drugs problem. They don't have a homosexuality problem. They certainly don't have pornography over there. He's managed to protect his people and protect the morality of his race. Yeah. And he's done really well. When you think, you know, that's an Asian guy and all the rest of the world is against him. You just imagine what we could do if we had an ethno-state. We don't even have one. I used to think we used to have Iceland, but even Iceland now is getting filled up with the third world, and they've got a high crime rate. You never used to hear of murders happening over there.
All right, last time we were in Iceland, they came out at EU, they were doing well, but I've lost track of them lately.
Once you have a white ethnostate, people can start trusting one another once again and working together, then great things come about. You just look at the amount of patents that the Third Reich came out with.
Yeah, I mean, we're still on.
Yeah. Is it 2.5
And that's another reason about this war as well. It was the worst possible war to lose, because after World War II, all the technology comes in then. And it's all in the hands of these clowns.
Being used against us. I mean, one of the conspiracy theory allegations that gets put across is that all the Nazis went off to work for America, and they went off to work for, you know, this is the alternative to that would have been working for the communists. That's why they went off to America in Operation Paperclip, is because they had this wonderful technology, this wonderful know-how, and they didn't want it to get into the hands of Stalin and the communists. And you got two sides of the same coin.
We're all in it anyway.
Yeah, I was going to say, you got two sides of the same coin, but one was slightly better than the other. That's all. Slightly better. And even now, with hindsight...
To maintain.
With hindsight, Dennis, you might even say that the communist side was better, because the former communist states are the ones that don't have this degeneracy now and that are standing up to the Muslim invasion.
Yeah, quite possibly. I mean, but, you know, at the end of the day, people, I mean, I've come to realise with all these revolutions that, you know, they were all together. I mean, I truly believe that Roosevelt, couldn't get into the war because of the American public. And so Stalin then massed his army, on that border and was never declared war on when he invaded Poland. And now, when you think that the bankers, subsidised the Bolshevik Revolution and shift took millions out of the Russian gold, it's all plain to see now, because at the end of the day, you know, Stalin did what he was told. It opens up even more eyes about World War II now for me.
Well, they were all working together. I often get accused of, why do you support a political solution? There is no political solution because of this, because all the politicians are in the pockets of the bankers. Any of them actually get anywhere. They're all working for these Jews. But, you know, I think you have to fight them every way you can. Yeah, you have to fight them politically. Fight them in the way that you talk to people, fight them in the organizations that you choose to support. But what it really comes down to is a battle for the individual, for the way that the individual is. You know, you try to improve yourself and you try to win that internal battle is far more important than winning the external battle. And once we have enough people that have defeated the internal battle, then we'll win externally. I mean, once people are prepared to die for their cause and die for their people, then there's nothing that can really be done against them. That's why I say with this Charlottesville
Well, we've come full circle, haven't we? They've got to shut us down, otherwise people will step up. People are starting to believe. I mean, I see the comments on these latest uploads of The Greatest Show Ever Told, and one in particular said, this documentary has changed my whole outlook, not only on World War II, but even on the governments today. And that's exactly what it does. It frees people up in the mind.
Well, it's a completely holistic view of things, isn't it? Once you start thinking of things racially, it takes in everything. Politics, banking, all of it. Not just biological.
TV, publicity, media. You can see it all. I saw all this when I was 10 or 12. Couldn't do a real lot about it, you know what I mean? And might have mentioned a couple of times and just got laughed at. But it's true. I mean, once you watch that documentary, it breaks down all these fences that they've built up in, psychology. Then suddenly you're free and people are seeing it. And I can't believe they put it back up on YouTube, really.
Well, you're very lucky to know all that when you were 12. I mean, a lot of this stuff people didn't realise till they're in their 40s or their 50s, studying all of this, and now that it's available on the internet, there are people as young as 12 discovering this, and millennials that are driving the movement forward at the moment. And this is why they're so terrified of it being on the internet, is because it's reaching out to a new audience all the time. I mean, your documentary must have had over 100 million views, I'm sure. You know, that's millions of people.
There's a lot of people seeing it, and all they have. I mean, I'm always getting told if I go either, speaking to some radio podcast or whatever in America, they're always amazed that the people they've met have told them they've watched that documentary. Just unreal.
You would be a, you know, you'd be a regular face on TV as a celebrity.
I don't want fame.
If they were honest about popularity, I mean, the video is hugely popular. Has Alex Jones ever mentioned it? David Icke?
Yeah, there's a video which I downloaded and put it back up again. What it was, somebody phoned in the studio and started talking about this documentary on YouTube called How I Felt the Greatest Stone Ever Told. Now, Alex Jones hadn't seen it up to that point, and this guy was kind of cute in how he was doing it, and he was saying things like, well, you said it, actually, Alex, that so-and-so. And so Alex Jones let it go on longer than what he would have watched it. And at the end of it all, Alex Jones turns around and actually said, well, I haven't seen the documentary yet, but I guess people can make their own minds up. That's because he hadn't seen it then.
Yeah, well, you know what he's going to say. I mean, we know what he says about National Socialism and how he thinks that the Nazis are running about them. But surely people that follow him are going to come across your information. And
I think that happens, yeah. I mean, he's probably wasted a few years listening to him and his Nazi bashing and this paperclip thing, what you were going on about. And then eventually, you know, they start moving further into our direction. If they're lucky enough to come on one of my channels and view a video, then they really start getting awakened. But until then, you know, Alex Jones does feed them all in.
Well, this is why it's important that we continue to have a platform on YouTube. I mean, we know it's run by the Jews, but it gets our information out to people that otherwise wouldn't see it. I mean, a lot of people have come across Radio Aryan. A lot of people have come across Radio Aryan just through YouTube. You know, they haven't found it anywhere else. And we haven't even got a YouTube channel. It's just other people putting it up there. But it is important. You know, we've got to have our own platforms where we can talk to our own people. And we've also got to be able to get our content out on the mainstream ones. So
what annoys me, though, is what we've been talking about today. There were some will class as hate speech just because we're saying good things about what happened in National Socialism and Germany. That really starts to annoy me because there's been no hate speech whatsoever. We haven't said go kill this or go bomb this or maybe paedophile, maybe, but that's allowed in my book. But that starts to annoy me when they start giving hate speech and you haven't even said anything.
Well, it's so ludicrous, isn't it? When they accuse us of being haters, they've got signs up: "Kill Nazis, kill white supremacists, smash this, smash that," and then they accuse us of being haters. And, you know, they chased Kessler, the guy that organised the Unite the Right rally. The left just chased him and smashed up all the camera stuff at his press conference, and the journalists were saying, "Oh, they've put a stop to the bigots in Charlottesville." And a bigot is somebody who can't stand to hear another person's point of view. I mean, it's the left that are bigots. They're the dictionary definition of it, trying to shut down somebody else's speech. And when you think about what the people at the Unite the Right rally were saying, they were saying, "You will not replace us." Apparently, that's hateful. Saying "you will not replace us" is apparently hateful and makes you a Nazi. And the other thing they were saying, blood and soil.
That's a problem.
Yeah,
they can twist anything into hate speech because even if somebody says Hitler was right, that is turned then into hate speech because you've praised Hitler. It's like you're not allowed to say certain things. I can praise Genghis Khan and I can praise Stalin, but certain people you can't because it's hate speech.
Well, this is just it, isn't it? It is Orwellian. I mean, we've been listening to the audiobook of 1984 on Radio Aryan all the last couple of weeks, and it's shocking how close to the way the world actually is today. As the new think that they've got on there, new speak, these words that people use, the way that they control language, and there's nothing closer to that than this word hate. Which the only hate comes from these people that accuse us of being haters. They're the real ones that have nothing in them but hatred for other people having a different point of view to them. And because we just because, as you say, Dennis, just because we say something like Hitler was right or blood and soil or you will not replace us, that makes us a legitimate target for extreme violence.
Yeah.
And people are putting up with this.
Which will get played down in the media on their side.
People are so brainwashed that they don't actually see the double standards in that. People you would think that are intelligent enough to see that is a double standard there, where you're treating one group of people completely different to another. They just don't seem to be able to get that. Only Donald Trump seems to get that.
I mean, they are clever. I've got to be honest. You know, the drip, drip, drip on TV, showing these mixed race families in adverts and all this sublimeness. It's constantly going on. It's constantly going on. And my wife, actually, who's not the least bit interested in history or anything, actually, when we had a bit of a talk about it, she said it was only then that she realised how many times she heard the Holocaust every day on TV or Nazis, you know.
Every hour.
Yeah, well,
at least
up to then, never noticed it.
You'll be
but drip, 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 sublime.
Right. Another,
that's the right word.
Well, another things are these, these double standards that they have. We've been hearing all week about how at Charlottesville, a Ku Klux Klan rally, they all had these torches, they were all Nazis walking along with these torches. It's another Holocaust, how terrible it is. And yet, on the Wednesday night, they had another torch lit rally. I mean, this was a torch lit vigil for the Antifa woman that got ran over. And that's completely fine. That's totally fine for all of them to hold up torches. They don't suddenly become targets for ultra-violence because they're holding up torches. They don't get told that they're a Ku Klux Klan rally or that they're white supremacists. That's totally fine. Yet if it's nationalists that are walking along holding up torches, then somehow this is the worst thing ever.
Well, apparently there's some people in business and Trump had got them together to try and sort out, trying to sort out America. And one of these, after what Trump said, he weren't satisfied with, this is before like that he was brought out again to have a go, these far right. One of these business people, top business people, pulled out. And since then, more and more have pulled out. So he's tweeted now, I've called it off anyway now. So, it's just to show how deep this thing goes, because they're all supposed to get in a room with Trump to try and hammer out some kind of a thing for America. And all the time, these are the same kind of people.
It just shows you how much control the Jews have, doesn't it? How much control and power they have over everyone. They can control the businessmen. They can control the media. They can control the politicians in the Republican Party. But the great thing about Trump is that he doesn't back down. The more they push him, the more he'll push back.
He has a long hair slug on.
This was just it. He turned up to give a press conference about infrastructure, and the journalists didn't want to listen to him about infrastructure. They wanted to push him and push him and push him to get him to condemn the alt-right, basically. And they kept pushing him. And because of that, that was why he pushed back and said, no, there's guilt on both sides. The alt-left is just as guilty as the alt-right.
And there is. I mean, I don't agree with the Ku Klux Klan. I told you, I was putting a story. Hitler would never join an organization. A lot of these neo-Nazis have got the Jew version of Hitler. And I've took it on themselves, which is again not correct. So there's a lot of that I don't believe, but I mean it's right. But on the other side of it, when you've got Soros and previous to him, the Black Panthers being funded by the Jews back in the 60s. And what I can't believe, by the way, Sven, is this film what's coming out, this new film what's premiered in Britain called Detroit. Why bring out a race riot film at this point in time? I mean,
What's that called again, Dennis? I don't think I've heard of that. What's this film?
Yeah, there's a film called Detroit, and it's about the race riots in the 60s. And they brought it out at this particular time, where obviously it wasn't that long ago that blacks were chasing whites in cars you know, in America after the election, etc., and beating them up. So why does Hollywood have to bring out and stir the hornet's nest with this film?
pretty obvious, isn't it? Why they're doing that?
Exactly. Jews do what Jews do, but people will fall for it. I mean, it's a white woman who's actually directed it, and she's giving it like, well, it's, you know, we thought it was a good idea to bring it out because, you know, the sign of the times, it's still going on. All they're doing is stirring the hornet's nest. You know, it's criminal.
Well, they'll do that as much as they can. I mean, one of the funniest things I thought about all of this was the media kept saying it was a Ku Klux Klan rally. The Ku Klux Klan had nothing to do with it. There was nobody there in robes. It wasn't organized by the Ku Klux Klan. And they even managed to intimidate Trump so much they got him to denounce the Ku Klux Klan, who weren't even there. I think that could have been the reason why he was so riled up at that second press conference, because he had said something completely nonsensical. He denounced a group that had nothing whatsoever to do with it.
What weren't even there.
Yeah. That's how ridiculous it is. That's how ridiculous this hysteria amongst these journalists is. And there was a Richard Spencer interview earlier in the week, which was pretty good, a press conference. I think he could have done better, but he did okay. And there was a British journalist at the end, and at the end she said, she didn't ask Richard Spencer a question. She asked the other journalist. She said, why are you giving Richard Spencer this time? Why is Richard Spencer given time in the media? And this is something that British people don't realise. The Union of Journalists in Britain, they have an agreement. And if you are a journalist, you have to sign up to this agreement. And the agreement is that you will never feature anyone from the so-called far right. You're not allowed to put across any of their views. You're not allowed to interview them. The only time you're allowed to mention them is to rubbish them and insult them.
Demonize them, yeah.
Yeah, and this is why we don't see any nationalists in Britain being interviewed. And this British journalist, she, you know, that's why she didn't ask Richard Spencer anything. She just asked the other journalists this question.
Now, that's all the time I see Peter Thatcher on TV throwing his or into certain things about, you know, gays, etc. You know, he's never off TV.
Well, this is it. They'll put all the things they want to put on there that people aren't interested in, that there isn't any actual groundswell for, that there is no popular movement for. They'll put that on the television and force us to go along with that. Gay marriage, teaching anal sex to children. The genuine populist movements, like wanting to stop immigration, they won't interview any of them. When you see Jez Turner on TV,
he said, "Yeah, this this reporter said to Thatchell, many people think that the act is actually unnatural," and his reply was something on the lines of, "Well, in the animal kingdom, you know, it's been going on for thousands of years. It's certainly not unnatural, and you know, in civilized societies." Throughout history, homosexuality has always had its place. It is by far one of the most natural acts you could actually assume.
So we're no better than animals, are we?
And the reporter said, "Thank you, Mr. Thatcher. Have a good day."
Yeah, no, nobody challenges them.
Nobody challenges them.
The left think that this is why the left think that we're all stupid. They think that they can just challenge us and defeat us in a debate, and they can't, because we have all these facts behind us. As you said earlier in the program, Dennis, when they try to challenge you in a debate, they lose. That's why the ones at the top know that the only way to deal with the far right is to completely silence us. But you've still got a majority of people that think that, you know, we have free speech and we have a debate.
But I mean, it's so well hidden that people like myself have quite a job to find it. But these people who have no idea that the actual event, say, was true and the details have been buried. And so when they cockily, in a debate, bring it up and say, but Paul and blah, 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 blah. You know, and then you bring out, you know, what you've found, what's been buried for years. That's when they're in a state of shock. But they'll never find it because they wouldn't know to look for it.
Well, we keep digging up the truth. We'll keep exposing what's really going on here for as long as the internet is up. I think we've got plenty of tricks that we can pull if anyone tries to stop our little operation. We've got we had someone try to stop the chat room earlier in the week, and within 5 minutes we had a new chat room up. We were prepared for all eventualities. Dennis, thank you very much for coming on today. Thank you very much, listeners, for listening. We'll be back next Friday with another Truthful Out Radio for you. So until then, we hope you all have a wonderful weekend ahead of you.
To Radio Aryan.